Well, it's good to be back after a break, and this is my first sermon of the year. And I'd like to use today and maybe a few of the first few sermons to try to set a scene or the landscape that we may expect in 2025, both individually, maybe, as well as a body of believers here at St. Luke's. One for all and all for one. Sounds familiar? Where did it come from? The Three Musketeers, that's right. Yes, I was growing up, I used to enjoy the movies. You know, there are different versions and different actors play different roles. But yeah, one for all for one. Now, I'm not preaching on the three or four musketeers, whatever. But I want to use this particular tagline to apply to our church in this new year of 2025. This whole phrase for the musketeers, it really stands for unity, conviction, and commitment to one another, correct? You know, I remember they kind of fight for each other and they would stand up and, you know, three is better than one and so on. Now, the point we draw from the passage of Corinthians, particularly in verse 7, it says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Now, this is the verse I would like to focus on this morning. Let me say that again. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, of course the Holy Spirit, is given for the common good. And I think out of this verse, it also speaks to me, and I hope it does for you too, that there is something about one for all and all for one. All right, one for all and all for one in this verse. In John chapter 14, verse 20, we are reminded that Jesus said these words, "I am in my Father, and you are in me," that's referring to his followers, disciples, "and I am in you." Do you get it? So this is all for one and one for all. It's all interconnected, interdependence. And we are all part of this together. Well, I'd like to focus out of this verse 7 in Corinthians four particular words or phrases that I believe are important to understand what it means to be all for one and one for all. The first phrase is each one, all right? Each one. Who are the each ones? Well, are we included? Am I included? To each one is given, that referring to us as the body of Christ. To each one is given, that's you, that's me. All of us who are Christians and each individually, that's the one part, the first one, one. They are those who once were non-believers, and in those days they were pagans until they heard the good news of Jesus. They were worshipping other gods, and some of our people may also be worshipping other gods until they came to know Jesus. And they also used to reject Jesus, but now they, and so are we, follower of Jesus as Lord. Now, a key sentence is at the end of verse 3. It says, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So in other words, it is the Holy Spirit that brings us into that conviction, that sense of knowledge and understanding that we can call Jesus our Lord, our Lord. Now, the each ones are people who live under the Lordship of Jesus. That's again, you and I. We aim to think the way he says to think, And we aim to feel the way he says to feel. And we aim to do what he says to do. That is not, in other words, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. The operative word here is living. Living. Living under the Lordship of Jesus. Not just saying it, not death, but living. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, Jesus said, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So in other words, living means that we have to say it, and we have to mean it, and we have to do it. That's the part. So that's the one part that applies to us. The second word is Spirit. Spirit. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That is God. The same God who spoke creation into existence. Now, we could talk about being baptized in the Spirit, so that he is all around us when we go to baptism, the water all around us. Or we could talk about drinking the Spirit, to that he is infilling in us and making us drunk with the holy influence. That is the ingestion, that is the intaking of the Holy Spirit. It emphasizes the one Spirit behind all the various gifts that we have heard from that passage on Corinthians. We have very, very ministry, and we have very effects, but the same God, the same Holy Spirit who makes things happen. We are different because you and I are gifted differently. Some things you do very well, something I can do better, maybe. But we're all gifted differently. So we have different gifts, and we have different ministries, and different effectiveness as well. And yes, no doubt about that. But there is only one God, one Father, one Son, and Holy Spirit, and that spells unity. There is unity among the Trinity, even though it's three persons. And the Trinity built and rules and guide the church. That's the Spirit part. So we talk about being one, you and I being one, and we'd also talk about the Spirit manifestation. The third word is manifestation itself. To each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That is the connection between you and God. God is manifested in your life and in my life. God, the Spirit, becomes visible through each one of us to others. You are to show the Spirit of God. That's what the whole Bible and all of life is about. Showing God and making God visible to others. That's the one we are for. The reason the Spirit gives the gifts and ministry and effectiveness that he does is so that he will be manifested in the church. So we may have different gifts. We are part of the church. And the church is to manifest the power of the Holy Spirit so that people can witness that. A manifestation is about showing. When you manifest something, you bring it to light and you put it forward for people to see. And that is our calling. That is our challenge. That through the Holy Spirit, people can see Christ in our lives. The work of the church, I say, is thoroughly supernatural. Supernatural. One of the greatest curses of the church is when business is done to such a science that it manifestly runs by human effort and human effort alone. But a church is to be supernatural. So if that is the main thing of the church, then the efficiency of people is to glorify God, not just for ourselves' sake, but to glorify God and God's sovereignty and the Lordship of Jesus. So for me, when I see evidence of the reliance on Spirit again and again in each of us and in St. Luke's, I rejoice because we are reliant on God's power to make things happen. Yes, we have much to learn. Whatever we do, do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit might be seen among us more and more, so that people can see God more and more through us. Right, that brings us to the last word, the last phrase, which is for the common good. For the common good. We talk about being one. Who are the ones? You and I. We talk about the Spirit, which is unity, which really gives us the power. And then through that, it's the manifestation so that people can see God, see Christ through our lives. And the last bit is the common good. The common good. That is a result of the manifestation of God, the Spirit in the life of the church, for the common good, both within the church and also externally. Good that comes to people. Good that comes to people. It is good for people to see God, to see who God really is, the character of God. It is good for us to see the manifestation of God's Spirit in each other's lives. And I rejoice that as we look around ourselves, we can see the goodness of God in each of our lives, evidence of the Spirit working through each of our lives. That's the one for all and all for one. The Spirit is manifested for this purpose, for the common good. All the gifting we have is not to boast, not to glorify ourselves, but it is for the common good. That is the purpose. The Spirit does not give gifts and ministry so that we can boast in our spiritual prowess. Or He gives gifts and ministry for two reasons alone. One is to manifest Himself, that is God Himself, and to help you and I to do good to one another, to each other, in church and outside church. The gifts that you and I have are for the glory of God and good for the church and good for the people. This is right at the heart of our understanding of this biblical theology. The pursuit of God's glory and the pursuit of what is good for us are two separate pursuits. If we want to do good for people, you try to manifest God to them. If you want to manifest God and make Him known for who He really is, then you make your aim to do good to others. The two are connected. One work on the others. So, dear friends, look for concrete opportunities this year particularly to manifest the Spirit. Look for opportunity here in church and in your home and other ways that we can manifest the Holy Spirit through each of our lives. At this point, I'd like to throw a challenge to all of us. You know, we have different people, have different needs within the church. And I'd like to see us this year to be a more encourager and more reaching out to others. I call it a word of hope for St. Luke's, all right? A word of hope for St. Luke's, from St. Luke's, to others. Now, what do I mean by that? There's plenty of concrete opportunity that you and I can reach out to people, all right? And sometimes we may have to go the snail mail rather than the email part, all right? We can easily write a little card of word of encouragement to send it to people to encourage them, especially when we hear story of different needs of different people. We can write a note of encouragement. Some of us are already doing that, right? And I've seen that happening, but we can do more because there are people who aren't able to come to church to worship with us. There are people who may have different needs that need some encouragement. And I would say one of the things that we as a body, as individual, we can write some cards and note of encouragement and pass it to somebody. Maybe a Bible verse, maybe just a few words of encouragement, or maybe simply say, I am praying for you. All right. Some of these, what I call, is a word of hope that we can do, we can all start to do if we have not already done so, is to encourage one another, especially people who are around us who may have special needs and so on. All right. So can we do that? Of course we can. Just write a few lines. And if you feel that you can do email, that's also okay. But a nice little card, quite helpful to encourage one another. So I call this a word of hope from St. Luke's. That's something you and I can do this year in 2029. So let me draw it to a close. We have heard a few of these faces. We have phrases in this Corinthian chapter, and we have heard about all these sort of things. And so verse 7 is right at the heart what it means to be a Christian, both individually as well as a body of believers, and what it means to be a church, to be a church, that we are one. We are one with God. God is in us. That we are to manifest the Holy Spirit through our action, through our words, through our lives. And that God is a God of Trinity. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one as we are one with God. And finally, for the common good. For the common good. Do good to one another. Seek concrete opportunities where we can actually encourage one another, help one another, reach out for one another so that we can be God's people in this way. So let me repeat that verse one more time, right? Now, to each one, that's us, the manifestation, that is the power of God, of the Spirit who binds us together, given for the common good. For the common good. Our common good. Everyone's common good. Amen.